Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Postmodernism, in its sort of rejection of truth overall, has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
Social justice is not compatible with a biblical commitment. CRT, critical race theory, is not compatible with a biblical commitment at all, and neither is liberation theology.
Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in Jesus, and the strength of our faith completely depends on the strength of the object of our faith.
When you separate the work of the Holy Spirit and the receiving of the Holy Spirit from the waters of baptism, then you open yourself up to the false teaching of the Pentecostal and charismatic movement that you can be a Christian but not have the Holy Spirit.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Those two words, for us, embody our Lutheran understanding of the blessed exchange that Christ was born and died for us, taking our place.
New parents love listening to issues, etc. In the middle of the night.
If someone were to go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I want to intentionally harm myself. I feel self-destructive." The doctor would say, "Let's get you in touch with some professionals who can get to the underlying causes of why you want to harm yourself, why you're feeling self-destructive." Well, someone comes to a doctor. Nowadays, that was a sane world. But nowadays, someone comes to a doctor and says, "I want to have surgery that is essentially self-destructive to my body, and it's permanent, and it's irreversible." Now the doctor will say, "Well, let's get you in touch with a surgeon. We can schedule that right away, and you'll feel so much better when it's all done." That's exactly what happens with the transition movement. Some have done this, ill-advised by medical professionals, and now they regret it. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of January. We're going to hear a story of transgender transition regret. Walt Heyer will join us, and then we'll talk the theatrics of preaching with Dr. John Bombaro. Walt Heyer is identified as a transgender woman for 8 years and now helps others who regret gender change. He is author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors and a recent column for The Federalist titled "He Wanted a Family. Trans Crazed Doctors Left Him Hopeless and Sterile." Walt, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
We're going to be calling this young man Adrian, but tell us Adrian's story.
Yeah, Adrian is a young man contacted me when he was 24 years old. He had been in the care of an institution who deals with psychiatric issues since 2013. The institution diagnosed him with schizophrenia, bipolar 1 disorder, PTSD, been sexually abused by his brother, physically abused by his father. His mother recently passed away. His dad is still in the picture, but his brother has died. So in March of 2021, they decided that given the fact he had schizophrenia, they were still going to process him through giving him hormones, doing feminization surgeries, and cutting off his genitals and declaring him to be a transgender woman. And he contacted me in August, shortly after all of this, and said, "You know, I don't know why they did this to me. And all I wanted to do was have a family. I'm a heterosexual man. And here I am. Can you help me get my genitals back and save my life?" Well, of course, anybody, any clinician who gives someone surgery and hormones who has schizophrenia needs to be locked up, put away, never practice in medicine again. It's an idiot. Because anybody with bipolar 1 disorder, schizophrenia, and PTSD are not candidates for hormones and surgery. And so we have filed a lawsuit against this practitioner. It'll be out in February 9th that should pretty well awake the nation as to what's going on.
Why did the medical professionals just ignore and fail to treat Adrian's significant mental disorders?
Oh, well, that's a real simple one. They did it with me in 1981, and they've done it with everyone since the late 70s. They consider addressing comorbid disorders, the term they use is gatekeeping. Anybody who, you know, regardless of their mental condition, anybody who has the desire to change genders, they feel compelled to give them hormones and surgery. I've even had individuals who had traumatic brain injury ending up getting hormones and surgery. And because they're adults, they can consent to anything. 90%+ of the people I work with don't have gender dysphoria, aren't candidates for surgery, and yet the clinicians always opt to diagnose them with gender dysphoria, because that means then with that diagnosis that they can push off the cost to the insurance companies, Medicare, Medi-Cal, whatever, and proceed, because they make money doing it. And so it's profitable. And the diagnosis of gender dysphoria is not a clinical diagnosis. It's a social contagion diagnosis. And so we're harming people like this young man, heartbroken. As it said in the article, I've never had more phone calls with this young man than I have with anybody in my life, including my own kids, parents, or anybody, because he's so devastated by what they did.
How common are stories like Adrian's?
Oh, I get them every week. It is the general practice of the gender clinics to ignore sexual abuse, to ignore underlying disorders such as schizophrenia, dissociative disorders, bipolar disorder, body dysmorphia. You go down the list. They don't consider treating those things any part of what they should be doing. Their mission is only to notch another thing in their gun of converting somebody from one gender to the other. And by the way, I think it's important, you know, they accuse the people like myself of engaging in conversion therapy, and the only people on this earth that are engaged in conversion therapy are the gender clinics, because they convert the people through hormones and surgery, claiming to change their gender. And by the way, so far in the history of mankind, no one has ever had their gender changed. Not Jenner, not this guy that works at HHS, not the swimmer. None of them have ever changed their gender. This is strictly a cosmetic change where they've changed their persona, their biological morphology remains the same and is unchangeable. These are men and have no right claiming to be women. It's insane, in fact, and they should not be allowed to compete in sports. And I'll shout to the rooftops. And by the way, women are much more important and much more significant and much more real than a man who takes some hormones and identifies as a woman. I would venture to say, my wife, tell me that a man identifying as a woman is equal to your wife. Never happened.
How is the trans industry engaged in what you say is both fraud and medical malpractice?
Yeah, well, it's profitable, and they get supported from the White House. You know, here Biden appointed this man to HHS, one of the high positions there, and calls him a woman. And I'm here to tell you, he's not a woman. I'm not stupid enough to see that the guy is a guy. And I don't know why the administration, except they benefit from it. This is how they get votes. You know, they love these issues. If they didn't have the transgender LGBT population, they would be in dire straits to have anybody voting for them.
So why does the trans community ignore the real outcomes of their agenda? You say that you hear from dozens of people, and the stories are not difficult to find of transition regret. Why does the trans community ignore that?
Again, they don't care about outcomes. They don't care that the people, in fact, they have scorn for me. They don't care that people are harmed by it. The only thing they care about is the fact that they receive from George Soros, from Tides Foundation, from many people, they get millions upon millions of dollars to keep this medical fraud, and that's all it is, it's a medical fraud, going, because there's people who really benefit financially from doing this. I've testified in court against people who are homosexual or transgender, and they get paid $80,000 a year just to run around testifying in court. I do it for free. So that there's money to be had, and so that follow the money. You know, the fact that no one has ever changed genders, and we're talking about something that has never happened, and yet they've socialized it to the degree that you can identify as a transgender and get into sports. It's totally beyond my comprehension, except for the fact that it's politically and financially, it's motivating to the left to do so.
When you hear that regret is rare among those who have attempted to transition, how do you respond to that, Walt?
Well, yeah, of course, they would say it's rare because they will choose to look at the number of people who've gone in to have what we call a phalloplasty. If you're a man and you've had your genitals removed, then to put things back together again, you need a phalloplasty. So they judge the rarity based on the number of phalloplasties that are performed on men. The fact of the matter is 99% of the people who regret and detransition don't ever have a phalloplasty because it doesn't work. And so it's like a Christmas tree ornament. It's non-functional. It just appears to be there, but it's non-functional, so people don't do it. So the fact of the matter is, I don't know anybody, including myself, of the thousands of people that I've worked with, has ever been included in any studies of regret. They don't count us, so they can keep the number low, so they can tell you that it's rare.
You mentioned a lawsuit, or a pending lawsuit. Is there any legal recourse for people like Adrian?
Oh, absolutely. Adrian's going to clean their clock. Yeah, I mean, I sifted through all of his medical records with his permission and got a hold of a legal firm, and the legal firm got another legal firm, and we've got several different people involved in this. And clearly, from the records, the medical records, all held under one institution since 2013, they made a horrible mistake, and I think this is going to set the tone for hopefully many more people coming forward.
Let's come back to where we began there, Walt, and the fact that, as in your case, what really needs to be done, first and foremost, and I think you would agree, what really needs to be done exclusive of encouraging gender dysphoria is treating the underlying mental disorders. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, and I do this with the people that I've worked with, and I always ask them, tell me what caused you to not like who you are. And then we find out they've been, in some cases, sexually abused. And if they've been sexually abused, and anybody who's listening to this can go look up what happens to a person who's sexually abused. Well, they end up with mental disorders. And so if somebody's been sexually abused, like Adrian or myself, then we need to address those disorders that arise out of sexual abuse, which is a crime. If somebody's been diagnosed with schizophrenia, then you work on the schizophrenia. If they've been diagnosed with bipolar 1, then you work on bipolar 1. You don't give them hormones. No place in any diagnostic manual does it say to use hormones and surgery to cure schizophrenia or bipolar 1 disorder, PTSD. That's the insanity of it. I mean, simply put, you can stand in front of a judge and say, show me where it says you can treat schizophrenia by cutting their genitals off.
Why aren't the psychiatric and psychological communities concerned about this, given that this amounts to malpractice and abuse of people who are already suffering from mental illness?
Well, the clinicians that I know that go for the underlying comorbidities, if the individual who's being treated complains to the LGBT, the clinician's going to find himself facing litigation for what they call conversion therapy, which is factually incorrect. The person's just trying to address the underlying comorbidity and avoid just the general topic of going for gender dysphoria as a diagnosis, which isn't an accurate diagnosis. Most often, gender dysphoria is a symptom of something sinister and deeper that needs to be addressed. So they frighten clinicians into walking in lockstep with the LGBT's criteria for make sure you affirm everybody and don't discourage anybody. When people come to me with regret and want to detransition, all that stuff's out the window. I just go right for the jugular and say, okay, we're going to solve this, but we got to find out what caused you to go through this procedure. And then we find out that they were sexually abused, emotionally abused. They had some disorder that was never properly treated. I had somebody recently who transitioned at 60 years old. He contacts me at 80 after living this way for 20 years. I'm the first person that went in during a conversation said, tell me what happened to you that caused you to do this. He said, well, I was sexually abused and I was in foster care. I said, what happened when you told the clinician before you had surgery about this? He said, well, we're not going to consider that an issue. Well, it was the issue.
Walt, how do you explain the explosion of this phenomenon, especially among younger people, the unbelievably rapid rise of cases of gender dysphoria?
Yeah, the only place you need to go is 2013, when the DSM changed gender distress to gender dysphoria in the DSM. And in the DSM, it says right in the DSM 2013 that they did this so that we could begin to affirm people and just sort of push them down this pathway without any consideration for any underlying comorbidity. So prior to that, the DSM-4, it stated in there that you must have proof of some underlying issue that's causing this. So they were looking for disorders up until 2013. And after 2013, they stopped looking for underlying comorbidities. So that's why the rise in all these numbers. We've thrown everything out the window and said, if you want to be a woman or a man for the gal, then you can just be so. Before that, you had to come up with some legitimate proof that it was warranted, that there was something that required this. It stopped them from being able to do this. And one of the other issues in the prior DSM-4, it said you could not do this for any social benefit. Well, obviously, the swimmer is gaining social benefit from identifying as a female when he's a male because he can go out and beat all the women in swimming, or they can do it in bicycling, or I've worked with women who are the long ball golf. Men are entering long ball golf competition, and the women can't compete. Men are destroying every woman's sport there is. And it's heinous. And I don't know why we don't have enough lawmakers standing up shouting from the rooftops, we're not going to do this anymore. This is absolutely ridiculous. If you want to have transgender sports, then do this, have transgender sports. Let these people compete against themselves, but get them the hell out of all this other stuff.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, Walt, do you anticipate, with the rise of attempted transitions, a wave of transition regret?
Oh, I'm seeing it already. I'm seeing it at younger ages all the time. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Never used to see that. So the earlier that they're pushing these people into it, we're going to have a younger population. They're really trying to destroy an entire population of young children with the schools. I keep telling parents, get your kids the heck out of the schools. They're a cesspool of this gender ideology and critical race theory, all this other stuff. We need to bring them home and protect them from this insane left-wing ideology in the schools. Thankfully, parents are beginning to push back, but we need a lot more parents to push back and take their kids out of schools.
Walt Heyer is a man who identified as a transgender woman for 8 years and now helps others who regret gender change. He's author of several books, including Trans Life Survivors, and a recent column for The Federalist titled He Wanted a Family, Trans-Crazed Doctors Left Him Hopeless and Sterile. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Walt, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We will talk about the theatrics of preaching with Dr. John Bombaro of Eurasia for the Office of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and all of a recent column, The Theatrics of Preaching, next.
in all things. Across the nation, children are back in over 1,800 Lutheran schools. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring, Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Contact a school today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family. That's lcms.org/schools.
Male and female, he created them. Thus the Lord made Adam and Eve, and then put them in relationship to each other as husband and wife. This relationship of husband and wife is a frequent theme throughout the scriptures, and it also happens to be the theme of the January issue of the Lutheran Witness. We talk about husbands and wives, how modern media, particularly children's movies, portray fathers. Visit cph.org/witness to order your copy, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Now that you have packed away the Christmas ornaments and chrismons for the season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off and they're being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. See Ad Crusum's beautifully designed Christmons, together with our book describing how they fit into the church year. Visit adcrusum.com. That's adcrusum.com.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.